Jesus this morning. Those of you watching online, we're so glad that you joined us. We're going to sing out to him. We're going to give him our best praise. Come on. Let's sing this out.
Praises of our God. There's nothing that can stand against the praises of our God. We will defeat the enemy with the praises of our God.
Come on.
Oh, sing praise to our God.
The victory belongs to the Lord this morning, church. Come on, let's press into worship this morning. Here we go, we sing.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. See
Sing from your heart this morning, church. Sing Amazing Love.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly, my soul undeserving.
Every voice.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinners saved, the work of your power.
This life brings suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
It's Jesus. Come on, every voice.
God.
God, you're so good.
as we sing one more time.
Oh God, you're so good. Oh yes, Lord. Oh God, you're so good. Oh God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Come on, aren't you thankful for the goodness of God this morning? Come on, True Life, you can do a little better than that. Come on, if you're at home, let's just thank him for his goodness. If you're here in the auditorium, if you're comfortable with it, why don't we just lift our hands to him this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're so good to us. Even when we don't deserve it, especially when we don't deserve it, you're so good to us, God. And we just take time this morning before we go any further to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness, your kindness, your grace, your mercy toward us, God. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and worship, to tune in on computers and smartphones and tablets and gather digitally, God, just to lift you up and to let you know how much we love you and worship you and how thankful we are for you. God, I pray for your blessing over our time together, that you would have your way, that you would do what you want to do in Jesus' name. Come on, if you're in the room with me, if you're watching online at home, would you just say amen really loud? Amen, amen. Man, it's good to be in church today, isn't it? Come on, isn't it good to be in church? Awesome. Well, you guys who are watching online at home this morning during this 8:30 service is actually where most of you are, and we're so thrilled that you're spending time with us today, that we get to worship with you and dig into God's word with you this morning. If you're in a room with somebody else, go ahead and like hug a family member, high five them, let them know you love them. If you're by yourself, say hello in the chat or in the comments on Facebook or YouTube. And you guys who are here in the auditorium, turn and find somebody to wave at before you sit down and grab a seat and turn your attention towards the video. We're going to get you caught up on church news this morning.
Good morning, and welcome to True Life. My name is Maddie. Today's message will begin in just a minute, but first, we want to share about what's happening in the life of our church. While we continue gathering in person during the COVID-19 pandemic, we want to encourage you to help us protect yourself and others who are attending by washing your hands, using hand sanitizer, and wearing a face mask while inside our facility. Did you know we have a True Life Church app? Our app is a great way to stream a service or take digital notes. You can also go back and watch archived messages, connect to a small group, fill out a connection card, or give online. Download our app today by searching True Life Church of Newark in your favorite app store. LifeTrack is our way of helping you decide if membership at True Life is right for you and how to find your unique place within our spiritual family. If you've been trying out our church for a while and you're ready to take your next step, LifeTrack has been designed just for you. There are two ways to participate in LifeTrack. Option one is to attend in person each week during our 10 a.m. service. Alternatively, you can jump in online at 6 p.m. each Sunday by heading over to truelife.church/lifetrack. Each session has a live host to meet you and answer your questions along the way. Next week is step two, where we'll look at how God made each and every one of us with a unique design for a specific purpose. You'll have the opportunity to take a personality and spiritual gifts assessment, which will help you discover your God-given calling and fit in ministry. Kids Life is so excited to share that we are now open during the 10 a.m. service. We have limited capacity, so we are asking parents and guardians to pre-register their children prior to Sunday morning using the link truelife.church/kidslife-pre-registration. We are excited to announce that we will be hosting our second annual Giving Hope Christmas Shop event. This is one of the few times each year we come together as a whole church to serve our local community. We have so many ways you can get involved, starting by checking out truelife.church/serveteam. You can sign up there and get more information. All right, that's all for church news. Now silence your cell phones, grab your notes, and let's lean in to week four of Vote for Jesus.
All right, come on, True Life. How's it going? You feeling good to be in church today? Awesome. My name is Michael. If it's your very first time here, I'm thrilled that you're spending time with us today. I'm the lead pastor here, and you've chosen a great Sunday to come and check us out. You're going to hear a lot about one of the things that our heart is really connected to here as a church. And I want to give a shout out to those of you who are watching online this morning, whether it's your first time or you're here every single weekend. You guys here in the auditorium, would you just get as loud as you can? Help me welcome first-time guests and everybody who's watching online this morning. We're so glad you're here. And today we get to wrap up our Vote for Jesus series, and I've got a friend who's going to join me on the platform, and I actually don't want to take too much time on the introduction because we're going to talk about how we know each other and how we serve together as a part of our conversation for you this morning as we finish up the series. But there's a guy by the name of Pastor Dan Olerking who has been serving in ministry around the ARC circle that I'm a part of, helping to plant churches. And he's also the director of Children's Cup, which is one of our largest missions partners, one of our strategic partnerships. And so today we get to just kind of have a conversation about some of that and what you all are doing and the difference you're making around the world. And Dan is one of my best friends. And I don't know anybody who cares about people and pastors as much as Dan does. And one of the people who I can call, like when I'm having a bad day, and I know he genuinely cares. And how many of y'all know you need some people like that, right? And so he's hanging out backstage here. Would you all get loud and rowdy and just help me welcome my friend, Pastor Dan Olerking, out onto the platform this morning.
That's so weird, standing backstage while you get introduced. I've never had that before.
You've never done that before?
No, I've never done that
before. You want to come back out front?
No, do it again.
All right.
This is so cool. What a great church.
Thanks, man.
Great
church. We love
you.
Huh? I said, we love you.
Well, I'm glad to be loved. No, I'm supposed to say I love you too back. I really do, though. You guys should know what he just said about me being one of his best friends. I this is a guy that I value as a friend, but also as advisor is probably the best word. There's, you know, you're only like 40 years old, whatever, 39 again. But the experience and the heart, the passion that God's given him and his wife to obey him, to plant a church like this, to go through what it takes to do that, to go through the ups and downs. Well, I need that wisdom in my life. I need that experience. Children's Cup needs that experience. ARC needs that experience. And what you guys do to help other pastors, your passion, your heart to help other pastors is making so much more of a difference than what you see when you're part of True Life Church services and the life of True Life Church specifically. Your reach as a church goes so much further than that because of your pastor and his heart for other pastors. So,
thank you, Dan. So I've got some stuff here to tie this into our series as we wrap it up today, but I want people to know a little bit about who you are and what you do. So you kind of wear a couple hats. You are the director, president of, is president the title? Is that what you are?
Executive director is what they said.
Executive.
I generally just say guy on the team, but whatever.
Executive director of Children's Cup, which is a missions organization your parents started. They are mission, like they're in the Missionary Hall of Fame, I guarantee you, for the work they've done. And you also, so we'll talk about ARC first, because you also serve with ARC, and we do a lot of work together there, working with pastors and making sure they're connected. So tell us a little bit about your role with ARC first.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should know. I don't know how much you guys know about ARC, but it is an organization that helps churches get started. Basically, it takes a couple who says they have a dream in their heart to plant a church. We get behind them, train them, give them resources to do that. True Life is one of those. It was the 251st church we planted as ARC. But then since then, there's been another 700 that have gotten launched. And you guys, because of the way all this works and your pastor's heart, is you guys have been a part of all 700 of those other churches that have been planted since you guys, which I think is amazing because new churches are like one of the most powerful evangelical tools in the world today. So people are going to heaven because of you guys doing that. And that's, to me, that's one of the best things you can do. When you give in the offering here, part of that goes to help plant another church. That's so cool. And my heart with that I love is that those churches that ARC has planted, all 900 of them, and 912 I think right now, last year gave $20 million to missions. And I'm like, that's really exciting to me because I think a church that's about missions is a church that God's favor is going to be on. That's right. The other side of what you guys are.
And there's a, like, we talked about this last service. There's some crazy number, even in a pandemic, you guys, We're launching new life-giving churches.
Yeah.
So we've got how many?
There's 100 churches in the pipeline right now, but just this fall we've launched 35, and a lot of those we launched were online launches, which is tricky. We'd never done that before.
Yeah.
But how many times have we said that this year? Never done that before.
Yeah.
But right?
Hey, y'all. Can I just tell you, we may not have been meeting in a building, but the church has never shut down. You know what I'm saying? Like the gospel
That's
is going to
get
the gospel is going to get preached and shared everywhere we go. And and you guys, y'all are such a generous church. All right. So I just want to be right up front. We're going to talk about money and some stuff today, but we're really talking about it in the context of what you've already done.
Yeah.
Right. Like today is really, we're going to honor you guys because of your generosity, some things you've already done, and we just want you to know the difference you're making all over the world. And it starts with things that we do right here in our own community, things like the Christmas shop that are coming up and Serve Day and our special needs egg hunt. And every time you give, we don't just teach tithing, we practice it. So when you give here at True Life, a minimum of, it always ends up being way more than 10%, but a minimum of 10% of our budget, we budget out for the year. 10% is going to be spent on missions and outreach and helping people and finding needs and filling those needs. So we always do that. So a part of that is ARC, you're investing in church plants. And a part of that is some of our strategic missions partners. So we have three points of passion. We care about our city, our community, and our region. A second point of passion is our nation, that's church planting. And then we care about the world. And so we invest strategically in all three of those. We make sure that we're reaching our own community and serving people here. We make sure that we're planting churches all over the country. And we make sure that we're reaching people all over the world where, honestly, your dollar multiplies a lot further, right? Like, there was a study years ago, I don't know if it's still accurate, but they said it would take about $40 to reach one person with the gospel in the United States of America. And there are places in the world where that equation flips the other way. Like you can take $1 and reach 40 people because of it, the dollar multiplies much further. And one of the organizations we partner with is Children's Cup, which Dan is the executive director of. So tell us a little bit about Cup and what the ministry of Cup
is. Well, it started, my parents started it like 28 years ago with a dream. If we could feed 300 or 400 kids and tell them about Jesus. And they wanted to find kids that were in hard places of the world. And that was their dream. They started with credit cards. And almost 30 years ago, they did that. And now today, it's about 12,000 kids that we're feeding regularly and telling them about Jesus. It's, you know, we just don't believe it's enough to take a hungry kid and give him a meal. That's great. You know, if that's all you can do, then do it. But I think we can all, if you got Jesus, you can give him Jesus while you give him the meal. And so it's grown beyond that. Program-wise, it's not just a meal and talking about Jesus. We take care of the kid's body, mind, and spirit. So there's the body, taking care of them physically. It starts with food. It's also medical attention, giving them what they need there, keeping up with growth charts and all that kind of stuff, and getting them to the clinics. And in Southern Africa, where you guys partner with us, AIDS is still a huge deal, so there's a lot of the kids that they have to get ARVs, and the medicine's free, but the kids can't get to the clinic without some help, so we take care of getting them to the clinic for that. So body and then mind, we help them with their schoolwork. Sometimes we have primary schools. Most of the time we're not the school, but we are there as an after-school, help them with the tutoring that they need to get through school. Or in COVID-19, so much has been pushed to home, just like here, you kids doing school work at home or whatever. In Africa, it's been the same way, but there's a bigger gap of those that don't have access to the internet or to the things, the resources to get it. So we're working with them on that. And then everything we do, we feel like just my heart, you know, come from an ARC world of it's church. Everything's about the church. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to come build my nonprofit. He said, I'm going to come build my church. So everything we do is to supplement the work of a church. So we partner with local churches on the ground in Africa and Latin America, where we are, and we partner with them to, honestly, is to help the church grow, but it's also to give these kids that we're feeding and helping with their schoolwork, give them a future. Because without a church to grow up in, without a life-giving church to be a family around them, the feeding is just helping them survive childhood. But we want to help them grow up to change their world from the inside out, and that means they got to have a life-giving community around them.
So good. Isn't that awesome? So awesome. It's so awesome we get to be a part of that. I'm trying to see how many ways I can say the word awesome. How many times
awesome.
I can
That's
cram it
awesome.
Into the same paragraph. It's awesome. You ever done that? You ever get like a word
oh, yeah.
stuck
yeah.
in your vocabulary
yeah,
and you're like, why can't
word.
I stop saying it?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to tie this into I want to tie this into the series that we've been in, because we're in this series called Vote for Jesus. Obviously, I don't know if y'all have heard, there's an election this week.
What?
Yeah.
What? What election?
Y'all might have heard about that. I don't know if you know, there's an election cycle going on right now. I think somebody's from this area. I don't know. How many of you would agree? We've been talking about this for the last several weeks. How many would agree that the political climate in our society has become maybe a little bit dysfunctional, right? Maybe a little different than the way heaven would work? Yeah. And so I didn't feel like God gave us a series or a mandate to try to go tell you how to vote. I think your following Jesus absolutely should impact your vote. I think getting into God's word should absolutely impact your vote. But what I felt like God mandated us to do was give you as Christ followers, people who are living in this world, to give all of us some tools to help us respond to the dysfunction of our world in a healthy, biblical, God-honoring way. And there's only one way that you change culture, everybody, is you be it. Like, you go be it. Yeah. And you got to go, you can't teach culture, you can only be culture, right? I think that's one of the things Pastor Chris always says. And so it starts with me. And it starts with you. And so we don't have to accept the dysfunction that we're surrounded by right now. We can choose to do things a different way. We can choose to embrace the way Jesus lived and the way he asked us to live. And we can do things differently. And so that's why we've been using a couple of passages of scripture over the last several weeks. We started with this one, 2 Corinthians 5:9. So whether we're here in this body or away from this body, our goal isn't to get our ideology across. It's not to see our political party win. How many know every day of our life we're casting a vote by the way we live? So it's not just during the election cycle. Like, every day of your life, you have the opportunity to cast a vote for the kingdom of heaven.
That's good.
By the way we treat people, by the way we care about people, because we've got one goal. It is to, everybody say it, come on, please him. We got one goal. It's to please him. Why? Well, because we're citizens of this country, but we're also citizens of something much bigger than that. Paul says we're citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we're eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. And so here's been the heartbeat of what we've been talking about for the last several weeks together. I want you to stand in front of Jesus one day. I want to stand in front of Jesus one day, and I want to hear him say, hey, you know what? Like, you were already living like a citizen of here.
Yeah.
Before you ever got here. Good job. You did it. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to equip you. We're trying to prepare you. I want you to hear that. Hey, you already lived like you were here. Good job. I'm proud of you for that. Dan, we felt like God gave us four words for these 4 weeks that we've been talking about. I felt like the Holy Spirit just helped us identify. And there's way more than four, but four things that feels like are kind of missing from society and from our discourse. And four things that, as followers of Jesus, like, we're called to embody these things. In fact, I've told you guys every single week, I'm not just teaching you content. I'm asking you, like, with a little bit of accountability, like, if you call True Life home, go live this way and go be this in the world. And so we talked week one about grace, that we're going to vote for Jesus by being gracious people. Grace is a gift, can't be earned. How many thankful that you didn't have to earn salvation? Like, ooh, Jesus earned it for you. He did it. He did all the work for you, right? Yeah. And so we're going to be gracious to the people around us, especially when they don't agree with us, especially when they don't vote like we would vote or think like we would think. We're gonna start from a place of grace. And then a few weeks ago, we talked about honor. Like, there's just not a lot of honor left in our society. We don't have debates anymore. We have dishonor contests, right?
So
how many think, like, I'm voting for honor. We can bring honor back. And we're going to honor God, and we're going to honor others. And then last week, my friend Pastor Derek just crushed it, didn't he? He brought us a message on God's view of justice and the role that we get to play in that. And I want to thank you guys for your generosity towards him and towards Epiphany. And it's one of the cool things I love, Dan, as I shared this in the last service, like, we're going to talk about some opportunity you have to be a blessing and for God to use you. And this always happens in our church. Like, 2 years ago when we talked about that Christmas, I'm getting ahead of myself. Never mind. We'll come back to that in a minute. And so Pastor Derek shared on that. And so today, I've got the fourth word as we wrap up the series. It's one you're going to be really excited about. Like, you're going to, I know you're just going to shout amen as soon as I say it. So grace, honor, justice, and here's today's word. It's sacrifice.
Woohoo!
Y'all are manufacturing that. Nobody's like, who's ready to sacrifice?
Yeah.
Like, nobody feels that way. But it's an important part of following Jesus to realize there are some things in my life. Oftentimes there's extra in my life,
yep.
Like more than I need. And God brings us opportunities from time to time to take the more, the extra, and invest it on his behalf. In fact, there's a great passage of scripture that talks about this in Hebrews chapter 13. It says, and don't forget to do good. Do good. So, how many glad you don't have to do good to get Jesus to love you?
Right.
But because Jesus loves you, you get to do good.
Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, we can't earn it. We can't earn our salvation. Jesus did that for us. But because of the incredible gift of our salvation, I feel like, man, we have a mandate. We have a responsibility, Paul says in Hebrews, to, like, go do something. Go do good and to share. Come on, where parents at? How many love having those first conversations with your kids about sharing? They're like, mine! No. Let somebody else have it. And I feel like sometimes God's like that with me. So I'm like, God, it's mine. It's my big screen. Come on, y'all know what I'm saying. God's like, no, share. Do good and share, because there's some people who need what you have.
Yeah.
Like, there's people who need what you have. And by the way, when you give them a little bit of what you have, it helps them understand who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Because you're never more like God than when you give, right? Like, that's God, good. For God so loved the world that he gave.
Yeah.
And these are the sacrifices. Remember the first passage we looked at? What is our whole goal? To please him? Look, these are the sacrifices that do what? Please God. Please God. And so, you're making some sacrifices. You don't even know about it. Like, now we can talk about it, right? Because I think we got a couple of these pictures. I want you to see the care point in Eswatini, Africa, that every time you give at True Life, so, like, there's no special offering today. I just can't emphasize that enough, all right? You're already doing this.
Yeah.
When you give, we take a percentage of what you give. We invest it strategically with people who we know are going to steward it well and multiply it for the kingdom. So, like, when you get to heaven one day, I want you to be shocked by the amount of credit you get for lost souls that are coming into heaven that you didn't even know.
Yeah.
Like, I want you meeting people in heaven. Remember the old, thank you for giving to the Lord.
Ray Bolts. Yeah. Let's get it,
good
Ray.
Good old Ray Bolts, man.
Sing, Ray.
Like that's what this is. So there's a care point in Eswatini where every time you give it True Life, we take a percentage, we invest that there. And we're doing some things through Children's Cup. Dan, you want to help us out with what is the care point and what happens at the care point when we give there?
Well, so the support you guys give every month, that helps to make sure that we're able to do, because we'll have about 100 kids at a care point, 120 kids that'll come. A lot of those kids don't come often enough to get registered to be part of the sponsorship program, but we still want to take care of it. I'm not going to turn a kid away when there's food sitting there. Oh, you're not registered. You don't come often enough. So we make sure we're taking care of them. And then there's just the team that we have on the ground. We have like about 80 employees in Swaziland because there's 26 care points there. Every care point has two facilitators. So it's a big team in Eswatini. And those people, that team that does this, their hearts are so in it. I've watched them during this COVID-19 challenge step up in leadership in a way that I thought, I was worried because the missionaries had to all go back to their home countries, and the missionaries typically were leading these areas, but we've been telling them, hey, you need to lead in a way that raises up leaders from the home country. And so now that the missionary is gone, these leaders in this country have really stepped up to lead in their ministry, their heart. It's not just great leadership and smart. No, these people are passionate about these kids and giving them Jesus. And so that what you're giving does is help us be able to have those teams be able to pay them to do their jobs. So you're making it all happen the way you're given that way.
And then in addition to that, the last couple of years, we've given you an opportunity to partner with Children's Cup directly. So a handful of you already sponsor children at that care point and in that community. And is this So what's happening here? What's happening in this picture?
This is feeding. We're feeding
this is kids. Feeding.
Yeah, we're giving them food, and that's what, in Africa, that is the main thing that draws the kids there. A lot of these kids, this is the meal. This is their food for the day. Not every one of them. Not every kid is in abject poverty, so it's a mix. But the point isn't to feed them. The point is to give them Jesus. But that's what's going on here. They're eating. And I love this. Like, I just love this scene. Like, they're still kids, you know? Yeah. I know the backstory on a lot of these kids, and it's not pretty. There are some really heartbreaking, gut-wrenching stories that these kids, and it could be that kid. It's not. I don't know specifically that child or what his story is, but you wouldn't tell the difference by looking at the kid. They're playing, they're laughing, they're having fun because they're just kids.
Yeah, and I want to make sure we point out, too, because there's some language and stuff out there nowadays that almost like you're supposed to not help or not give because, like, we don't want to be in a position where we're doing this just to pat ourselves on the back or to try to make ourselves look like heroes or saviors. And I just want to be very clear with you, True Life. We unapologetically give to our missions partners. We always have and we always will. And you're never going to hear me apologize for that because Jesus told us to. And so we don't do it because we're the Savior. We do it because He's the Savior, right? Like, right. He told us to. We're always going to do it. Yeah. Right. And so, it's an honor, honestly. It's an honor that we get to do something very, very small that makes such a huge difference. And this is interesting because it's bright, sunshiny, warm weather, but this is not the time of year we would think about, right? What's going on here?
So this is Christmas. They have every year before Christmas, or before with Christmases, we would do a big party for the kids. We'd do slip and slides. Sometimes that's the only shower or bath that they get, so we'll put soap in the slip and slide, and so they get a bath. It's great. But it's jumping castles. It's just crazy. It's a lot of piling on top of each other, and we're telling Bible stories and all that. That's what the scene was like before. This year, COVID-19, that's not such a great idea. So, again, our teams on the ground came up with the idea, hey, we've been delivering food to homes while kids can't come to the care points for feeding like we saw in the picture. We're taking food to their homes. They said, what if we just take Christmas to each home? Like, put Christmas in a box and go visit them at their homes. So that's what we're doing this year. You guys helped last year with some parties, some Christmas parties, but this time you guys are...
Yeah, well, you sent me a text a few weeks ago, right? And you were like, hey, we can't do the Christmas parties this year like we normally would, but we figured out we can go deliver gifts and kind of a Christmas party in a box to each individual home.
Yeah, so the boxes have, there's going to be groceries like for Christmas, but even beyond that, and then hygiene products. It'll be festive treats, you know, Christmas something. They'll say Christmas to the kids. It'll have scripture. One Hope, you guys are partners with One Hope. Some of their materials will be in there to help with some of them will get a Bible. Some of them will get different pieces of scripture or a calendar or whatever, but some kind of scripture in there. And then also the box itself is going to be a usable thing and a personal Christmas card written from our team. And here's the cool thing. When they deliver these Christmases in a box, they're going to stop and visit with the family. It's not just the kids that get this. When it's a Christmas party, it's the kids having fun. This time, it's ministry from our team. They're praying up. And they're going to go visit in these homes, like old school church, like we used to do, go visit people in their homes and freak them out. This is going to be amazing. They're going to get to go pray with the family and listen to them, hear what's going on, and then actually pray with them, spend some time with them.
Come on, how many glad we don't do creepy church? Y'all glad? Aren't you glad we don't do creepy church?
I still miss that banana bread, though, you know?
Thanks for coming. Here's a fruitcake. Yeah, no, we don't.
No, the fruitcake that I'm giving you, not me. Yeah.
But different things work in different societies, different cultures.
True.
So it's really awesome we get to do that. So Dan texted me, said, hey, for $1,800, we can cover the whole care point. We can make sure, right? Like, we can make sure everybody in that community gets a Christmas package to their house. And we didn't budget that. We didn't have a line item for that. And this is what I love about you, church, is I didn't even think about it. I just said yes. I said, we're in. Like, count us in. You know why? Because we'll find somewhere to sacrifice something. I mean, I don't know what it is. We won't buy some new lights. I don't know what it is. But we'll find some way. Y'all might come in next week and have to sit on beanbags or something. Maybe we'll just sell your chairs
sell
on
chairs
eBay.
Off.
I don't know. But, we're just going to do it. We're going to. And here's what I love about you guys, True Life. Is, and it already happened, Dan, because I told you last service this would happen.
Yeah.
Every time we talk about things like this, we're not asking you for anything. I'm just telling you what we're doing and what we're a part of. And like last week when we had Pastor Derek here, which if you were here, I just want to say thank you. Like, thank you for being at church last week one of the greatest gifts you gave him was the opportunity to preach in front of real people, because his church hasn't been able to meet in person yet.
Wow.
And so he told me, he's like, dude, it just felt so good to be with real people and get to preach to real people. And then, you know, he used our touch screen, and at the end, I just felt like at the end of our 10 a.m. service, God was just putting it in our hearts to bless their church. And so I said, hey, Derek, like, would you like one of those? Like, would you want to teach with one of those at your church? And he was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. I was like, cool, we're just going to get you one. We're just going to build it for you, and we're going to make sure you have it. And a bunch of you went and gave directly to their church last week. You told me they had a great giving bump last weekend. And so I want to thank you for doing that, True Life. And I just love that about you. Like, every time we talk about something, a lot of times I can't get back to my green room or get to my cell phone, and then there's a text message there from somebody. Like last year when we talked about this Christmas party, I shared it from the stage, and before that service had ended, I got a text message with, it's paid for, it's covered. And wouldn't you know, Dan, somebody snuck a check into my hand after the last service.
Oh, wow.
It's going to help us cover that Christmas this year that we've already committed to. Y'all, I just want you to know, I'd pre-decided, we're going to bless Dan today because we bless every guest who comes to our church. But hold on, I didn't even tell you the good part yet. But we're sending him back today with that check for $1,800. We're going to cover Christmas for the CarePoint.
That's so cool.
And some of you have already, like, decided to prioritize that and give towards that.
I remember I was sitting in front of a Chipotle one time in Orange County, California, and we're on the phone, and you're telling me about the Giving Hope thing you guys. It was last Christmas or
the Christmas shop? Yeah, last year.
You're describing not just the event itself and how you're going to bless these families, but the way God provided, the way the generosity of this church provided for it. You start crying. I'm on the phone. I'm crying. And people, like, walking past and looking in the car like, are you okay? What's going on? And we're just both just boo-hooing because it's overwhelming when you see generosity like that, where it's just such a free heart to give. It doesn't feel like sacrifice.
And I cry easy anyway, so just be careful. Like, especially during COVID, man.
I'm like,
yeah, take it easy.
But we're manly men right here. That's what we are. Yeah. We boo-hoo at anything.
But I don't know how to emphasize to you enough, True Life. Like, y'all are so generous, and you make it so fun. And I just want to thank you. Again, there's no bait and switch here today. Like, I mean, we are going to give you an opportunity. We're going to talk about sponsoring kids. But there's no special offering. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I want you to see what you're already doing.
Yeah.
And how your generosity is reaching people all over the world. In fact, I think you should just give yourself a little love. Come on. Cool. Just go ahead. It's all right. They won't do it either. First service is like,
it's no. The humility. Yeah, that's
right. No, Pastor. We're humble. We can't do that.
So you and I should just stay standing over.
Yeah, we should. We'll applaud you.
Yeah.
Boy, that's underwhelming. Okay.
It's hard to clap holding a microphone.
You know what I love about these two is they remind me that no matter where you go, kids are kids.
Yeah.
Kids are kids. And some of these kids, you mentioned already, AIDS is a big deal there still. You'll notice most of these kids have their heads shaved, boys and girls. That's because lice is a big problem there. And so, but they're, some of these kids, because of the AIDS epidemic, you know, some of them don't have parents.
Yeah.
You know? Or they're living with an aunt or an uncle or a cousin or whatever. And so I just love that we get to have an impact and we get to...
Yeah, there's certainly... The tough situations are certainly tough situations. Like, there's no way around that. But the point is they're not defined by that tough situation.
Right. They're defined by
Jesus,
right?
They're still a kid who wants to stick his tongue out at the camera. You know, they're still kids. And they still have... They're going to grow up and change their world from the inside out. They'll do something that you and I can't do.
That's right.
They're going to grow up in that community. And if we do things right, if we provide body, mind, and spirit, care for them with that, they're going to have a life-giving local church to grow up in and be full of Jesus. And like this guy, let me tell you a story. This guy, Vusani, he was one of our older kids. He came to a CarePoint as a little bit older. But he went through a program that we called at the time Economic Empowerment. It's really kind of a misname. It's like prepping them for leadership in life. And giving them Jesus and leadership principles. It's kind of like if you took John Maxwell and put it in Eswatini language, it's that we're just prepping them. I guess that's okay to say John Maxwell, right?
Absolutely.
He's not running for president.
No.
Okay, we're good.
I wish.
So this guy grew up. He came through that program, was graduating about the time of this picture. And this is what we're doing. We're prepping these kids. We don't just feed them and play games with them. we're prepping them for life because they're going to grow up and be the ones that change their world from the inside out. We can't do that from here.
Right.
He can do it. And with our help, we can.
So awesome. And I love you shared the business leaders, business owners came to you because you originally thought, we'll teach them a trade.
Yeah.
But that really wasn't what they were looking for.
No, because the business owners in Eswatini came to us and said, hey, that's great. You're teaching this stuff, but we can do that. Like, I don't need you to tell them how to weld. I'll teach them how to weld. What I need is somebody who's not going to steal from me. Somebody's going to show up to work on time. Somebody's going to be honorable and faithful and those things. And so what we've shifted was, hey, our leadership program is leadership. It's not skills training. And that's not true everywhere. I'm not against skills training. I think it's great. But in our situations, what they need, what's missing, is a workforce that is, they've got character, godly character. So we're pouring that into them.
So great. So awesome. I love that. Oh, too many touches. Oh,
surprise. Spoiler.
Look at these beautiful kids, man. So awesome.
Yeah, and the cool thing, you guys have been helping with this one care point called Mafutseni. So everything you guys have been doing, I mean, you're helping with your monthly support that you send to Children's Cup. It helps everything happen. Okay, but when you are helping with a Christmas party or all the kids that you guys have sponsored, they're all at this one same care point. Yeah. So, you know, when you get, if you sponsor a kid, if you go on the missions trip that'll be coming up soon, whenever we travel can happen again, we'll put a trip together, you get to go meet the kid you sponsor. And that's life-changing. For the kid, it's life-changing because they meet this person, this family that has cared about them and swapped letters with them. But it's also, it'll be life-changing for you. Just the whole experience of sponsoring a kid can be life-changing.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where we tie into sacrifice today, right? Like, 2 years ago, our family, we decided, you know what, we can eat out a little bit less. We can do a few less, Lord Jesus, help me. We can go to Starbucks a little less. Come on, just stretch your hands towards your pastor right now. We're talking about sacrificing coffee, y'all. No, I'm kidding. So we did. We decided, hey, we can find somewhere in our personal budget, and we're going to sponsor a kid. And we sponsored a girl. Her name is Sebeka Zile.
Good job. Well done.
Did I say it right?
That's a hefty name to throw out there.
Yeah. And she and her, my daughter now, like, they write back and forth, kind of pen pals. They're the same age. And, in fact, Sarah was, when she saw, I got to say this without getting emotional, we were looking at all the cards before you guys came to church that weekend. So we got first pick. and when Sarah saw the card and saw that this girl was her age and didn't have a dad, didn't have a daddy, she's like, I want us to sponsor that girl. And so, y'all, she's not just like money that leaves our account every month. Like, that's our kid.
Yeah.
That's our girl. And I love Dr. John's story from last year. Dr. John Norton, you know, their family, they sponsored a child, and he's a doctor, and come to find out the child they sponsored wants to be a doctor when he grows up. And so that just, you know, what a blessing to them. But we chose to sacrifice. And we're gonna give you an opportunity today. Like, we're gonna let you know the kids who are in that care point in Eswatini who don't have a sponsor yet. I think there were close to 30 coming in today. Maybe we picked up a couple in that first service, but just kind of want to talk to you about sacrifice a little bit as we kind of bring it home this morning. And I think about sacrifice in two ways, right? Like, sometimes sacrifice finds you. Like, you weren't looking for it. Yeah. Some of us have had to deal with sacrifice this year with the pandemic. Maybe you're a business owner and you had to decide, like, do I get my paycheck or do I make sure my employees get their paycheck? You didn't ask for that. Sacrifice came and found you. I remember our church is going to be 9 years old in February, but I always remember this time of year as we head into the holidays, because my mom, it was the end of our first year as a church. We weren't even a year old yet in December, and right there in the holidays, she called me one Sunday after church, said, hey, your stepdad, he's got sick all of a sudden. We're going to the hospital. And within a week, he had died from an infection. And I remember just being like, man, I wasn't ready for this. I'm not ready to turn that corner and now have to think about caring for my mom that way. And, like, he's still supposed to be here, you know? So there's sacrifice sometimes forces its way into your life. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's hard. Sometimes you weren't ready for it and you didn't want it. But I want to show you something that I've found to be true in my life. when sacrifice shows up in a way that I wasn't expecting, can I just tell you guys, God sustains me through unexpected sacrifice. Like, you're going to have some moments in your life where you didn't want it, you weren't looking for it, you weren't ready for it, but a sacrifice had to be made. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it stretches us. But how many know, like, God carries you through those seasons of your life? Like, he will sustain you through those seasons of your life. And Dan, I know you have a beautiful story of that in your own life.
I think you just said something, too, that made me think. It's like there's a difference between pain and sacrifice. Like, pain is something that happens to you, but it's how you choose to go through it. Do you let God sustain you, or do you just endure pain? And I think there's a difference between enduring and God sustaining you, and it all has to do with your heart and sacrifice. So, and to me, that word is trust. Do you trust God in these moments of sacrifice, that when you lost your stepdad, is that the turn to say, okay, God, I'm going to choose to trust you. I don't understand. I didn't deserve it. Job, I'm reading the book of Job in a Bible reading plan with one of my sons. Man, that Job didn't ask for that. That was unexpected. But he, at the end of the story, he's turning it to, spoiler, if you haven't read the book of Job, you should read it. But read the whole thing. Don't stop at chapter 39. Good Lord. Keep reading. But it's the sacrifice, because he chose to trust God despite all of the stuff going on. So I was telling Pastor Michael this story. We were in Zimbabwe about 20 years ago. My dad called me and said, hey, there was a storm came through and really wreaked havoc on a lot of our projects. We need to go visit and check on everything. So my wife and I prayed about it, really felt kind of uneasy about it, but also had that, we knew I was supposed to go. You ever had that moment where you're like, this doesn't feel good, but we know it's right? And so I went with my dad, and it was 20 years ago. We didn't have cell phones. It wasn't like you're texting while you're riding down the road in Zimbabwe, which you can do now. It's kind of cool. So I got to the airport in Johannesburg about 24 hours after I left home, and I called my wife, went up to the payphone, called my wife. And she said, so, after you left, I went to the doctor and had him check out that lump in my neck. And I was like, what lump? Why didn't you tell me you had a doctor's appointment, and what lump in your neck? Because she's that tough person, like nothing's wrong ever. I am the exact opposite. I have a hangnail. My finger's going to fall off next week. It's that. I stubbed my toe. I better go get my foot amputated. It's just, I have a stomach ache. Well, it's probably cancer. You know, everything that goes wrong, I can extrapolate it out to something horrible, okay? Well, I get a headache. Like, for real, I have these thoughts. I get a headache, and it's going to be an aneurysm. I mean, I deal with that. But I'm learning because of this experience I'm going to tell you about, where I'm riding through, and she tells, riding through, I'm sitting in Johannesburg in the airport, and my wife tells me this, and I was like, wow, why didn't you tell me? She said, well, he said in 2 weeks he wants to do a biopsy on it and see, make sure it's not cancer. And that just sent me over the edge. She said the C word. And I was just like, I'm coming back. I'm getting back on that same plane, and I'm going back to Baton Rouge, and I'm going to be with you. She's like, the doctor said he's not going to see me for 2 more weeks anyway. What are you going to do? You're going to sit here and look at me? I was like, yeah, because it may be the last 2 weeks I have with you. You know, this is where my mind went. And so somehow, I don't know how she did it. She's good at this, 32 years of experience now. She talked me into staying. So I stayed. We went, and we're riding down the road. And the way it was there, you don't ride on the road at night. It was just too dangerous. So, and it was quite a ways we had to go. So we drive all day, spend the night in a place in the middle of nowhere, get there before nightfall, get up early the next morning, drive to make it to the final place before nightfall, so you're indoors. Well, we always try to make our trips really safe, and so that's what we're doing. We're trying to do things right. And I was terrified of being on the road at night anyway, because I'm going to worry, right? So I'm in the back of the car, and I'm sitting there just, I'm thinking about Vicky, and I'm like, I'm looking at my ring, and I'm kind of associating, this is her. You know, that's where my mind goes. I'm all about symbolism too, but I'm looking at my ring thinking, this is her, and I keep her with me. And I'm like, this sounds creepy saying it that way, but I'm like, I'm just fiddling with my ring, wringing my hands. I've told Dad and this missionary that they're up front, missionaries driving. I told them what's going on, and they're praying, you know, hey, it's going to, you know, understanding. We get to the place at night. The whole time I'm worrying on the road, and in the back of my mind, I hear this voice saying, trust me, just trust me, just trust me. But it's a still small voice. It's quiet. And raging in the rest of my head is this worry. You're going to lose her. You're going to be a single dad. You're going to, you know, all these terrible things. I'm imagining the worst loudly. Well, we get to the place that night, go to bed, and I always have this habit. I take my baseball cap off, put my ring and any other valuables in my hat so I don't forget them. I'm just trying to take care of myself. And so the next morning, we get up, we get in the car, we're a couple hours down the road, and I'm still worrying. I'm sitting there just thinking through how bad this could be. It's a little small voice saying, just trust me, trust, trust, trust. But I'm not paying attention to that one. I know it's there because I can remember it. And you'll know why in a minute, but I was worrying so loudly. And I realized, I start wringing my hands. I'm in the back seat, start wringing my hands, and I realize my ring is not on my finger. And I thought, it's gone. She's gone. It's a sign. I'm going to lose her. It's like confirmation. That's it. She's gone. Like, I'm never going to see her again. And which is totally absurd when you think about it, but the fear of cancer was real. And so I was mentioned it to my dad, and my dad's... He's a veteran missionary. He's, at this time, he's just kind of old and just kind of the way it is. He's like, it's just a ring. Forget it. We'll go get another one. You know,
real compassionate.
It was a very compassionate person, but in that moment, he was not. He was just like, it's just a ring. And he's like, it's just a whatever. So, but then while he's saying that, Bino, the missionary, he's just turning the car around. And I'm like, well, you know, thank God somebody loves me. But then I got terrified because, like, we're 2 hours down the road. We're going to be getting in after dark if we get in. Like, we're not going to make it because it's too dangerous. So I'll start worrying about that. Well, I'm still in the middle of all that. Hear that little voice. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me about the road. Trust me about the ring. I just kept hearing the word trust. And so, but again, louder than that is this worry. Well, we pull around the road, finally get back to the place, and it's a dirt road off the highway. And so the dust is flying up. So they see us coming. And I'm telling you, this is the truth. I got a fat man getting out of a chair. COVID weight. But I stand at the gate is this guy, young man, about 20 years old, standing there doing this. I have no idea what's in his hand. But he's standing there doing this. I get out of the car. I run up to him. I'm like, hey, man, I think I may have left. And I look down at his hand, and it's my ring. And I thought, wow, first of all, that ring, it was 1988. It's a little gold ring with all the little diamonds in it, you know. Little tiny itty-bitty diamonds, so I could say I have diamonds in it. So it's like a $300 ring, and which is, I'm happy. I still have it. It's great because he gave it back to me. It meant everything. It meant the whole world to me at that moment. But it was enough. It could have paid. He probably, you know, in his lifetime never saw that much money. The fact that he was giving it to me was a miracle. The fact that they found it was a miracle. He hands it to me, or I take it out of his hand, and I said, thank you so much. I'm just like overwhelmed with, I wanted to bear hug him, but that would have terrified him. So I just took everything out of my pockets and gave him everything I had. It was like 100 Zimbabwe dollars. It was about 3 cents, but it's all I had. So I gave it to him. It had been 100 US dollars. I'd have put it in, whatever. I'd have given him $1,000 at that point, more than the value of the ring because what the ring meant to me. So I'm starting to get back in the car, and it dawns on me, I need to know what this guy's name is. You know, I want to remember. I want to be able to tell this story. And so I turned around and said, hey, look, one second. Can you tell me your name? I want to remember you. And he said, my name is Trust. And I said, what? He said, Trust. Like, he didn't do this, but in my mind, this is what he like, T-R-U-S-T, are you deaf? Trust. You know, like, get it through your head. But it was loud in my head. All of a sudden, that word that had been so quiet in my head so far was loud as day because God finally got that message through to me. And here's the thing. It turned a moment of unexpected sacrifice to, I'm choosing to trust God. So it is a sacrifice. I didn't see it coming, but I'm going to choose to trust God and believe that he's got this figured out. I don't have it figured out. I'm going to believe he's got it figured out. And here's the thing. She gets the biopsy, not cancer. Great. Good deal. End of story, right? No. 17 years later, 3 years ago, they find cancer in my wife. Last week she had her fourth cancer surgery. Every time they've gone in and be able to cut out what's cancer, sew her back up, and it's all good. But the first time the doctor told us that it's cancer, so 2017, we're sitting in a doctor's office, he said, it's cancer. Then he says a few more things and goes out of the room. And we look at each other, why aren't we freaking out? What, I mean, we just got told you have cancer. And we're both feeling very calm. My wife just said, we trust God. We're going to trust God. I was like, yeah, well, I'm still learning this. But that moment 20 years ago set us up to understand, hey, it's a sacrifice. Life has pain. Do we let the pain just be pain that we endure, or do we turn it into a sacrifice of praise to God?
Come on.
Saying, I trust you. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm going to trust you because you're still God and I'm not. And I'm a citizen of heaven. Worst case, I got heaven.
Yeah. Come on, isn't that awesome? Isn't that an incredible story? And I just felt like somebody needs this today. Like you're facing some stuff you didn't choose. And I just need you to remember, like God's going to carry you through this.
Yeah.
Trust. Trust. I pray you don't have to go drive around in the middle of Zimbabwe to figure it out. But I'm just telling you, like, God wants, he just wants your trust. Like, give it to him. He's got it.
Yeah.
He's got it covered. And Vicky's a rock star, by the way. I remember she came with you last time you came here and didn't feel well enough to get out of the hotel.
No, she wasn't feeling good.
Yeah, because all that going on. Man, just trust. So trust. Come on, how many have had God sustained you through some stuff before? Aren't you thankful that he does that? So God, he'll sustain me through unexpected sacrifice, but not all.
Let me throw one more. Sorry, we're out of time.
No, you're good.
Sustaining me through it is not just carrying me through it, but it also is how he sustains me in the future. Because of the unexpected sacrifices I've been through before,
he sustains.
That's my story with that is in 2017, he was sustaining me because it had been through unexpected sacrifice before. Sorry,
I meant
to say that earlier.
It's good. It's good. I can leave, man. You can just preach. Yeah. You want to just have it.
Oh, your next point's good, though. You need this one.
We need this one, right?
I know. Spoiler
alert. Today doesn't work without this one, right?
That's right.
Come on. God sustains me through unexpected sacrifice. But, you know, it's not always unexpected. Sometimes I get to choose it.
Yeah.
And here's the awesome thing. When I choose it, there's always blessing attached to it.
Yeah.
Like, I cannot think of a single time, Dan, when I've been presented with the opportunity to choose less for myself so that it can be better for someone else? Or do I just keep it to myself? And every single time I give it away, life gets better.
Yeah.
It's one of the things I love about who we are as a church. You know, we just decided early on, we took some of that early ARC language and we just made it ours, man. Like, we're going to give away as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to. That's why we do what we do with pastors and churches and we don't really care that much about the name over our door. Come on, how many know that the name that gave his life for us is a whole lot more important than the one hanging out over the front door? Like, if it's Jesus, we're for it. If it's kingdom, we're for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we get to choose it sometimes. And God blesses me when I choose to sacrifice. And we're going to we have a really tangible way for you to maybe do that today if God puts it in your heart. But today is not just about Children's Cup or, again, there's no special offering, anything like that. But, you know, you're going to have some opportunities in your life to take your extra and be the hands and the feet of Jesus for somebody. That's why we do a Christmas shop.
Yeah.
It's why we go to do serve day. It's why we have an outreach team. It's why we do the egg hunt. Because, y'all, God's been really good to True Life. We got extra. We got extra. So our job is to steward that extra as best we possibly can. Maybe you got a neighbor who's elderly or not doing so well and the grass is getting a little tall. Come on, that can be a little sacrifice, right? I don't know anybody who wakes up and they're like, I'm going to mow two lawns today. Come on. Not unless you're getting paid, right? It's a little sacrifice, something you can go do. And I'm just asking you, True Life, like, let's continue to be that group of people, that church family, who when we see a need, our response is like, can I feel this? Can I do this? Can I be Jesus right here? And today, the way that you have to do that is there's about 30 kids, there were about 30 kids coming into today from that care point in Africa who don't have a sponsor yet. And Here's what I will. I'm not ever going to ask you to give anything. I don't do that. We don't do that in our church. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but we never ask you for anything. But what I will ask you to do is go talk to the Holy Spirit about it. I will never apologize for telling you to pray. And so I would encourage you today to just open up your heart, ask the Holy Spirit, do I have any extra that God's asking me to sacrifice, to part with, and maybe go sponsor one of these amazing kids in Eswatini. And there's a website that's been developed just for you, childrenscup.org/truelife. And on that website are all the children in that community who don't have a sponsor yet. Dan, you also got those. Do you have it with you? Do you have one?
No.
You don't have the card with you? Michael's got one.
Thank you, Michael.
So, Michael, wave at everybody while you're standing up there. This is Michael, Dan's assistant, and he's going to be...
He's the brains behind everything and the good looks.
He's going to have a whole bunch of these cards at a table in the lobby on your way out. So we know it's COVID. People don't necessarily want to touch things. You can if you want. We'll leave it up to you. But they've got a QR code on each one of these that'll take you right to each individual child. You want to tell them a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of information about the kid. Like this one, her birthday is December 25. So I picked her out. I was like, this is cool. It's got their name and obviously what care point they're at, but also a little bit about them. Like she wants to be a teacher when she grows up. And I'm like, cool. It's cool to know. And so sometimes there's a connection. It is what you said, though. Is pray about it and let God. This information may help you hear what God's saying to you, but it is truly pray about what God wants to do.
If I sponsor a child, how much is that?
Oh, sponsoring a child is $39 a month. So there's three things that really it does. $39 a month takes care of the financial part of it, but then we ask you and strongly encourage you to write letters. I know you said your daughter writes letters back and forth all the time with your sponsored kid. That's a big part of the ministry of this. The $39 takes care of the what we do ministry-wise, the food and all that stuff, but there's so much more to it than that. It is the ministry you get to have with that kid. It'll help you in your walk with God. It'll certainly help this kid with their walk with God as you minister back and forth to each other.
So you guys who are here today, if you're watching online, they're going to put this link right there in the chat. It'll be on our social media page later today in case you missed it. Would love it if you just go check it out. Check out the kids who are there. If you're here in the auditorium, you want to stop by the table on your way out, check out the kids who are there. And just all I'm asking you to do is if God tells you to do something, do it. If he doesn't, don't. And we're just thankful either way, no matter what you do. And I want to thank you again for just your overwhelming generosity, church. And in fact, we just had, I think, what is probably in the middle of a pandemic, Dan. I'm going to share some of these numbers with you in the coming weeks as we move into our next series. I'm actually blown away. Jason, who tracks all of our metrics, sent me some stuff. And we just had one of the best Octobers. I think it's the best October in the history of the church. From an attendance number. Y'all, we're going to beat last year's salvation numbers in a pandemic. Like, we're going to have more people come to Jesus this year in the pandemic.
Come on. That's awesome.
I think it's the best giving month, the best giving October in the history of the church. I mean, just really, really incredible.
Never done that before during COVID-19.
COVID-19, man. During COVID-19. And it makes me feel a little guilty, honestly, because I've been so grouchy about COVID and my emotions have been up and down, and I feel like God's like, dude, what's your problem?
He's like,
trust me, I got this. Trust me,
trust
me. Leave me alone, man. All right. let me do this. Dan and I are going to stand up so that they can strike the stage here. And I'm going to ask all of you, if you would, just bow your heads with me for a minute. The table's out there with the sponsorship cards. The website's available to you. I want to talk to those of you, though, who... maybe you're hearing that today, like God can sustain me through some stuff. God can bless me. Maybe you never even realized, like, God cares about you and what's going on in your life. Maybe you don't have a relationship with him. And maybe today, as you've sat in church or watched online, you sense like there's something missing from your life and you need to have a relationship with Jesus. So I want to invite you to take that next step today. It's really simple. All you have to do is pray and invite him to become the Lord of your life. And I'm just going to give you some words. If you need to do that today, you can make them your own. You can just say, dear Jesus, today I realize I need you. Please save me. Take over my life. Please forgive me for all the sin, all the mistakes. Today I realize you paid the price for all of that. And I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that from this day on, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. And because of this moment right now, one day I'll get to spend eternity with you. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I just felt like this morning, maybe some of us are going through some unexpected sacrifice. Life has thrown some stuff at you that you weren't ready for and you weren't expecting. So I just want to ask Dan if he would take a minute and just pray over those of us who are experiencing that this morning.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the fact that you are present in our trouble. It never takes you off guard. You're never trying to figure out a solution to our problem. You already have it. You are the solution. And God, I pray that you'll just help us to draw close to you. Remind us to trust you. Whatever it takes to get that message through to us, remind us to trust you. I pray that each person in here that God has doubts or has concerns, has worries, has weight, challenges, insurmountable or just nagging, doesn't matter how big the challenge. Whatever those challenges are, I pray that you would help them turn it from just pain to sacrifice and trust you to carry them through it. Lord, let your presence be tangibly real in their minds, in their homes, in their place of work, everywhere they go. God, let them be continually reminded everywhere they look that you're right there with them, walking through this with them. And there is another side to this pain. There is something you're going to do, and your name will be glorified if they'll just trust you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, don't you all love this guy? I love this guy. So awesome. And we've got to sneak backstage and get our face masks, but we'll be in the lobby. Dan and I will be in the lobby to talk. Well, he already has his. Look at that. You're more prepared than me. I got to go get mine. And so we'll be in the lobby out there at the table to chat with you. Why don't you guys who are in the auditorium stand up with me? And you guys who are watching online at home, I want to remind you that right now in the chat or the comments on Facebook or YouTube, you're going to see a link to our online connection card, our digital connection card. You guys who are here in person, you can find that right there in the True Life Church app. If you have that on your phone or tablet, whatever device you're using, that is your best way to connect and communicate with us. So if you've got a prayer need in your life or some questions you need answered or trying to find a small group to be a part of, or if you made a decision today to surrender your life to Jesus, we want to come alongside you and equip you and resource you, help you take your next steps. We'd love it if you'd fill that card out today before you go. All right, man, I love you guys. It's been good to be in church today. We're going to worship one last time before we go. Come on, why don't you give Jesus the very best praise you can as we sing one last time. God bless you guys.